Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning and welcome to the show, Tuesday, July 15th. Is that a special date today or just July 15th?
It's the day before the ESPYs.
Okay.
That's all I can think of.
Okay, so that's how you measure time, but by the award shows.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a good way to do it, you know.
Yeah, the ESPYs are tomorrow, and then the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Sports Awards are on Thursday.
Oh, so they have sports awards, too, besides the entertainment one, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, the ESPYs are the sports awards.
Right, like but those are for ESPN, but you just said the kids in Nickelodeon have a sports one, too.
Yeah, but it's just the kids that are choosing who wins, pretty much.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. All right.
I'm going to
so
be on the red carpet.
So it's not for kid athletes or anything like that?
No.
Okay,
no, it's
okay,
for all
get
athletes.
You, yeah. Because nobody knows kid athletes. Who cares, right?
Yeah. And I guess so. It depends, because, I mean, Gabby, oh, what's her name? Gabby... The gymnast, the USA.
I have no idea.
I forgot her last name.
Okay.
The Olympic gold winner.
We get it.
But she's younger, so she's maybe classed as more of a child.
All right. But those are far and few in between.
Yeah.
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 So, okay, well, cool. It's been a crazy morning for me, you know. I mean, yeah, you saw me waltzing in here like 5 minutes before the show, which never happens.
Yeah, never.
Yeah, I've never been late for a show, although we weren't late for a show today either, but it just gave me less time to prepare.
Right.
But that's because I got a new maid, and she decided she's going to be just like a typical LA person and be late, fashionably late, right? And it's not like she had
to
deal with traffic.
That's what I used to say in high school, fashionably late.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's nothing fashionable about it, let me tell you. People are late, it pisses me off, you know?
Yeah.
What can I tell you? So we have exciting guests in the studio. We'll bring him in a couple of minutes.
Gabby Douglas. That was the
Gabby
Olympic
Douglas.
Gold medalist.
Okay.
Just came to me.
Yeah, you see, it always comes back to you. You have to ask for it, and then you forget about it,
yeah.
And it comes to you. I'm telling you, it works.
It does.
Yeah. So much for taking the bike to work this morning. You know, I was running behind. I figured it's no time to start loading up the bike and everything, you know.
One of these days.
Yeah, I know. But today I'm supposed to get the mirror for the helmet and all that.
Oh,
so,
nice. So tomorrow you'll be fully equipped.
I probably will be, yeah. And you'll see me in full gear and stuff. Although, I don't think I will. You know, I can't see myself in those stretch pants, you know. So I'm going to... I'll just wear regular shorts and stuff, you know, and just ride here. And you know. But I am concerned about it messing up my hair, you know, the helmet and stuff. Because
well,
the other day I rode it and, you know, your hair gets sweaty and everything. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look great. So.
Well, what you'll have to do is not do your hair until you get here.
Right. And then do my hair here?
And then do your hair here,
You're kidding me, right?
No, why
oh,
not?
Oh, like in the bathroom or something?
Yeah,
oh,
in the
restroom.
Bathroom. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and just do your
That's
hair.
A good idea, except my hair is going to be sweaty already.
True.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. I'll figure that out. Maybe on days when there's guests in the studio when we take pictures, I won't come by bike. But when they can't see us, you know.
Exactly. You could ride, the days we don't have in-studio guests.
Yeah. You know, I mean, many people, like, they will come to interviews and stuff knowing they'll get their pictures taken, and they just don't look like they put themselves together or anything, men and women. And you have to wonder, you know, how can you leave the house like that?
Yeah.
You know, but some people are comfortable with that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not. I can't even leave the house unshaved. I told you that.
Yeah.
And, and clean clothes and showered. I mean, I can't leave the house otherwise. I feel like shit.
Right.
Let alone, you know, what people are going to think and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And when you feel good and look good, when you look good, it makes you feel good.
There you go.
That's what I was looking for.
They also say when you feel good, it makes you look good. Maybe that's true, too. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Feel good inside.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, you see, you got to toy around with ideas a little bit and stuff. That's how you get creative.
Right.
So, well, this is cool. So how's the, so you happy with the new place now? I mean,
yeah.
You're happy there. You feel like home. And
yeah, definitely.
Cool.
I love being by the
beach. I still pass by the building here and I'm like, oh, Charlotte's not here anymore.
But I can even ride my bicycle from that because it's so short.
I know.
I've gone
for
from,
it'd be more hassle to just load up the
bike.
Yeah,
exactly. I've gone from being at too short to ride my bike to now way too long.
Yeah. To now having to take a helicopter to get here. All right. Well, is there anything in the news we should know about? Because today I didn't have a chance to look at anything. But
no, I mean, all the reports on Israel are really...
Yeah. Yeah, it's and you know what? On Friday, we're going to have somebody talking about that, an author. And I think he wrote a book called How David Turned Into Goliath or something, How the World Changed, How the World Turned Against Israel or something. So that should be pretty interesting. We'll see how that goes,
yeah.
You know. Because I found every time I post something on Facebook, nobody likes it, you know. But you know people read it. It's just that people are afraid to touch this with a 20-foot pole, you
right.
know. So they just won't give their opinions
mm-hmm.
and stuff, you know,
definitely.
which is pretty pathetic. I thought there was a lot more positive view on Israel here, but I think lately the propaganda machine of the Palestinians is working efficiently. But you know, I mean, that's it. I don't want to get into politics and stuff. It bores me anyway. So okay, well, let's bring in our guests. And let me bring in their full names here so we don't mess them up. We have Laurel House. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And May, is it we?
Huey.
Okay. Well, now I know. You see, next time I'll meet someone with the name Huey, then I'll know how to pronounce it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming here. Both beautiful women, and Charlotte knows I love to start the morning with beautiful women in the studio. So you've definitely made my morning already, and we haven't said a word yet. So,
who doesn't want to start their morning with a beautiful woman?
There you go. Well, maybe another beautiful woman. I don't know. I think everybody loves beautiful women, right?
Yeah.
Men and women. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And did you see the post I put on there that got some, actually this one got some response, you know, when I wrote that, I don't get why some women get like really, like upset and like angry at beautiful women, you know,
jealousy, insecurity, because you're tapping into their triggers.
Their insecurity, right?
So if oftentimes people are more judgmental on others on the areas that they judge themselves on most harshly. So for
right.
example, if I'm insecure about my butt and I
right.
think my butt is big and I don't think I look good in jeans, if I see some other chick who has tight jeans on, I'm going to be thinking, her butt does not look good.
Right. So she's a bitch, right?
Yeah.
It's because I'm insecure of my butt. Uh-huh. But if I'm not insecure of my butt and I see this girl with great jeans, I'm going to think, wow, those jeans look really good on her butt.
That's true. Yeah. There you go. That's the way it should be. But you're right, you know. And I think, actually, with me it happened too, you know, being a guy and everything, maybe jealous of other guys and stuff. But it was, I never felt really like angry with them or something, but I mean, some women are vicious on Facebook. It's like, wow, you know, I mean, I put a picture with a few women that were here or at the other station, and it's like, yeah, these are girls. Let's see you with women. I'm like, oh, come on, give me a break.
Wow.
You know, what is that? You know? So people are like that.
You know,
you know?
It's social media also. I mean, people feel like they have this protection because mm-hmm. they're in front of a computer.
Right.
So they can say whatever they want.
Right.
And they are vicious.
Right.
I have a YouTube channel. I've had over 15 million views. And I have one video that's had about 1.5 million views. Now, it is called The Penis Does Size or Shape Matter. But the comments that I get from people are... I mean, they'd shred me. They just assume that I'm a slut, that I'm an
yeah.
idiot, that I'm
because you're talking about penises and
yes.
stuff. Yeah. Well, I would too. No, I'm kidding.
I talk about it in a very respectable
I'm
and
sure.
respectful way.
I mean, well, you better. The penis deserves a lot of respect.
It does.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
The whole world revolves around it.
I don't know about that, but
well,
it does deserve respect.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you when you look at almost every man's mind, you find planet in the gutter most of the time, you know. So.
Absolutely. But you know what? Surprisingly, a lot of women also think about sex all the time.
Yeah, right? I know. I realize that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I opened up an adult radio station and I meet those porn stars all the time. So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I agree with you, man. They're crazier. They're crazier than men, let me tell you, man. They're constantly horny as hell. But anyway, so let's introduce why you guys are here and what it is that you're doing these days. And we'll discuss that. We'll discuss you and all that stuff. Go ahead, May.
Okay. I'm May Huey. I'm with a boutique matchmaking company in Los Angeles. And we basically help men and women find love and navigate their dating lives in L.A.
So, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So what does boutique mean?
Boutique mainly means that we
don't turn on the chair because it's squeaking a little bit. I apologize, but okay. We want to hear you.
Mainly, it just means that we are a small company.
Okay.
There's only 5 of us that work there. So we work really hard. We're in town. We're local. So we just cater to mainly Los Angeles and Orange County.
It's basically personalized service. Right. You know, oftentimes if it's not a boutique agency, if it's a huge firm, then you're not going to get the actual attention. So May is a matchmaker. And you know that if you're going to go to May, that you're going to get her attention. She's the one who's going to match you up. I mean, I haven't been matched up by May, but...
So it's not like you just have employees that you delegate it to, but you actually get involved with it and stuff.
Katie and I handpicked the matches for the men and for the women, and we meet everyone that comes through that door and just kind of vet them out, screen them, make sure the women look like their photos and the men are really as tall as they say they are.
Right.
So
yeah.
All that good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you better screen through those because otherwise, you know, like on dating sites and stuff, you know, this stuff happens all the time.
Right.
You know, they give you pictures from 20 years ago or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We get complaints like that all the time.
Right.
From the men.
Yeah. So are you saying, now, there's got to be like a huge market for matchmaking, but I also imagine it's not inexpensive, right? I mean, so you end up dealing with more like well-to-do people.
We do work with well-to-do people, but our specialty is mainly the career guy or career woman next door. So we deal with down-to-earth people that are just looking for love. We don't deal with the 60-year-old guys looking for the 30-year-old girls. That's
I'm not coming to you then. Okay, go on.
So we deal with mainly the people that are professional, busy professionals that want to find true love, down-to-earth, athletic, in shape, healthy, healthy-looking, and fit. So
cool. Okay.
Do you have a big clientele, or do your clients get a lot of one-on-one attention?
We have a big clientele, yet we do provide the one-on-one attention. So it's not like online dating where everyone's scrolling through thousands and thousands of profiles, or like Tinder where they just scroll through yes or no real quick. We handpick the people for them,
right?
So they can really feel like, okay, May has my back. She's met me. She knows me. I'm going to trust her to put my love life in her hands.
Yeah. And I also imagine that they have to trust you and stuff, that you do the screening for them and everything.
Right.
And, rather than, you know, just not knowing who. And obviously you get to know the people beforehand, so you can tell right away if they'd be compatible or not.
Yes. We get to know them sometimes a little too much.
Yeah.
People tell us all kinds of crazy stuff. But, we get to know them and they instill their love lives, because you would just hire a dentist to do your teeth. You would hire a lawyer to, you know, learn about law or to, you know, help you with that. So it's no different than hiring a matchmaker, a professional matchmaker, to headhunt for you and recruit for you.
Right.
So, what is your policy with the matchmaking? Do they get a certain amount of time with you, or is it until they find somebody that they date long term, or how long does it take?
They work with us for a certain amount of time, so it could be 4 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. It's really up to them. The people that have the most success with us are ones that are open-minded, that just want to meet people and just go out there and date and really just say yes.
And I imagine you get people that are serious about meeting people, because otherwise they wouldn't be investing their time and money in you and stuff. So your job in a way is easier, no? When they know what they want.
Yes and no. But sometimes when people pay us, they
expect a lot.
They expect a lot. No longer are they looking for a guy who's 5'7", has a great job, educated. Now they're looking for, well, if I'm paying you, or if I'm coming to a matchmaker, I want exactly who I want.
Right.
But we can't go back and make them.
Right.
So, same thing with the guys. If they pay us, they sometimes expect, well, now that I'm paying you, maybe I don't look for the seven or eights. Give me the nines and tens.
Exactly. So yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Now, this begs the question, and we're going to get to Laurel next, but so what happens if someone who's not in shape come to you? I mean, what do you do then?
Well, we ask them, you know, what are some of your challenges that is preventing you from being the right person? And we want to hear them say it or them admit it that, well, I can lose some weight.
That's true. That makes sense.
If they realize that's an issue, then we could say, well, you know, we have plans in place. We could help you with that if you're looking to be healthier.
Right.
But some guys say, well, I want someone to love me for who I am. And if they're a little bit overweight or a little bit chubby, then they need to be okay meeting women who are a little bit overweight and chubby.
Right. But you would take on these women? I mean, if there was interest in them, you would take them, right?
Yes. A woman who's healthy and wants to get healthier, or a woman who comes to us and want to lose weight, or a woman who comes to us and they have the whole package. Yes, absolutely. We want to work with them.
Wow.
But they also need to be realistic. If they're a little chubby and overweight, they need to be okay meeting a guy who's the same way.
Right.
But oftentimes you'll find that women fill out these profiles and they say, well, I know I need to lose weight, but I'm looking for a guy who's
for
this.
Brad Pitt or something. Right.
I think that's one of the things that's so hard about dating. I mean, I tend to be historically an equal opportunity dater, is what I call myself.
Okay.
So it's not
you date just anybody.
Tall, dark, and handsome. No, there are other things that you need to find attractive. And that's what's so difficult within dating, is we have these expectations of paper perfect.
Right.
And where looks are the dominant thing that we're looking for. But really, in the end, do looks matter? You know, shut off the lights. Can you have a conversation?
Right. That's true,
and that's something that I really struggle with my clients. And I think with there are some overweight men who are really attractive for other reasons, because they're sexy,
funny,
because of their confidence, their power, their success, their whatever it is, the way they treat you.
Okay, so Laura, so let's get to you now and tell us what it is that you do.
So I'm a dating coach.
Oh, you're a dating coach. So after people are done with you, they go over to me, right?
Well,
or the other way around.
We work together. I coach people not only on how to date, but also my specialty is how to flirt. So a lot of women, particularly upscale working women who are always busy, always thinking about their job, they don't know how to let themselves actually be feminine.
Mm.
So I teach them how to be feminine, how to let their guards down, how to be their authentic self, how to let go and be taken care of, and be a woman and embody the feminine gender roles. That doesn't mean to be a weak, withering flower by any means. Mm-hmm. You can actually have a huge amount of power by being a woman. And then I can go to a matchmaker like May and say, I have this great person. You know, we've been doing online dating a little bit, but she really needs some help in matchmaking. So we would be able to work together in that way. And I also work with men as well.
Okay. So you don't do really the matching, but you help people date so they can find the right person.
Yeah, oftentimes people come to me at the end of a breakup. So I'm often called a heartbreak coach.
Okay.
So people who are just completely shredded because, you know, they're the person who's sobbing on the floor in the YouTube videos, who cannot get over their ex. And they come to me and I help to basically put them back together again and build up their confidence and teach them how to flirt, how to put their best self forward, how to be presentable. So putting effort into it, like you were talking about at the beginning of the show. People come in here and they're not dressed up and they don't think about how they are
presenting themselves
and how people take them in. So I'm teaching people to be presentable and to put effort
and
into
many
their
people
looks
need
and
that
else.
Especially guys, you know, I mean, I think a lot of guys here, they don't care about the way they dress, they don't care about the way they look. It's always these oversized shirts and oversized shorts.
I know.
And flip-flops, and it's like, come on, guys. Guys,
put some effort into it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I was a woman, I'd be turned off by most of these guys.
Yeah.
You
know?
So really.
But really what both May and I do is we help people to find love in different ways.
Okay.
So I help women to find love who, you know, some of my clients are 57, never been married, you know, never really even dated. And they come to me like, I'm ready. I realize I just woke up and I realize I'm not married. I don't have children. I don't have
took them a long
life.
Time, but they
come to me and I help to create a life. And so we're actually this week, we're going to be on the panel of something called the Great Love Debate.
Okay, which is, we're going to talk about and stuff like that. That's really why you're here. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to find out a little bit about this. So so you can help, you can actually help teach guys how to flirt and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I go out as a wing chick. Okay. And I'll teach them how to talk to other women, how to not seem sleazy. You know, I'm all about screwing the rules. So I'm not following any traditional, conventional dating rules, which are about manipulation and being fake. I want guys to be real. I want women to be real, because that's what is sexiest, is being your best self.
Right. And it's hard to do, though. I mean, when you go to a bar or something, it's hard to really be yourself and start flirting and stuff. I don't know. I mean, how does it work? You see, for some guys, it's really easy. You know, they just have game from the beginning of their lives.
You know why?
Why is that?
Because they're being themselves.
Okay.
So they're just going up and saying, "Hi, I'm Dave. You know, what's your name? Where are you from? Or who are you here with?" Which is a great question for a guy to ask as soon as they walk into a bar.
True.
They're gathering information. Who are you here with? Uh-huh. Because then she can say, "Oh, I'm with my boyfriend."
Right.
Or, "I'm with my girlfriends." Or, "Oh, I'm here by myself just getting a drink after work." Mm. So you're gathering information. You have something to immediately go on and then start saying, "Oh, I've never been to this bar before." Or, "This is my favorite bar. And this is, what are you drinking? Can I get you a drink?" You just start having conversation. It flows. As opposed to some cheesy pickup line that doesn't work and just makes you seem like an idiot.
Right. You see, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, I'm very comfortable talking to women anywhere, anytime. I'll even strike up a conversation. But if it's a situation with the sexual tension.
I know.
And things like this, I can't say the first line.
Right.
I just can't.
And that's what's crazy.
You know? It is. It's like so crazy, because once you start talking, it's no problem at all, you know. But it seems like the first sentence out of your mouth is going to give an impression, and you want to make sure it's powerful.
Yes.
And you don't want to screw up, and you never know, am I going to say the right thing? Am I not? Because for some people, rejection is really devastating, you know? And
but you can increase your chances. It's actually been shown that you get a 75% increase of a response if you ask someone one question, which is, where are you from? And it's both online and in person. And the reason is because it's something that everyone wants to talk about, especially in LA, right? We all have a story. Most of us, except for me, are not actually born and bred in LA. So you say, "Hey, are you new to Santa Monica? Where are you from? What are you doing here?" And they can say, "Oh, no, actually, I'm from England and I've been here for 5 years." And they want to tell their story. They want to share something about themselves. And you've also tapped into their authentic self. Where are you from?
Yeah. You see, that's good. She just focused me on it, because if Charlotte knows, most of the guests come in, we start from the beginning and we find out. So really, the first, second questions I ask is, where are you from? I mean, with you guys, it's like you're two and there's a lot of us and we won't get time to really go into your backgrounds and stuff unless you're willing to come back, which we'd love that. But so we can't get to all that. But where are you from?
I'm from Santa Monica. I was born at St. John's Hospital. I'm as LA as it gets.
I guess, okay. And you have the attitude and the look also, so that's good. You look like you belong here.
I'm very much a typical California girl. It's pretty pathetic.
But that's good. So you should be quite qualified, though, to help people date here.
Well, what's interesting is most of my clients are not in Los Angeles. They're all over the world. So I have clients in Paris, in Switzerland, in Dubai, in New York, in Milwaukee.
But how can you be their wingman then? I mean, do you fly there?
Well, so for most of my clients, I do video Skype. Even my clients in LA, I do video Skype, because it's more money to see me in person. But if they want to do actual flirting coaching, I do have products that teach them how to do that. But they also will fly in from all over the world and will have an intensive session.
Wow.
So it'll be a full weekend where I first do some coaching. I teach them, I pick up on what they're doing wrong. I watch them and I criticize them. I'm really tough. I look sweet, but I'm actually not. And then I'll do a full fashion makeover with them. And then we go out and I watch how they flirt with people. And then they have to watch me. And then, it's a flip-flop the entire time. And we dig into deep stuff. I mean, most of my clients end up crying. But it's good, because I always say, with tears comes truth. So they need to dig in. They need to excavate all the old shit out so that they can become their best self.
So that's why they cry, because they feel that sort of like they broke through something.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm making them be vulnerable.
Right.
And it's one of the biggest fears, especially in LA, of people, of being vulnerable.
And especially especially in men.
Especially in men, because people equate vulnerability with weakness. But it's anything but. Vulnerability is actually ultimate strength. It's confidence in showing your fragility.
Right. Absolutely.
So how powerful, going back to like the first question or statement you say, how powerful and how much influence does that first statement have on what the person's perception is of you?
A huge amount. It's not as big as the first date. The first date basically determines your entire relationship. But the first question and that first conversation can be extremely powerful. It can be the, yes, you're going to get a phone number, or please get out of my presence because I never want to see you again. You know, it is that first, how do you present yourself? How am I taking you in? So if you are insecure in any way, then you're going to be perceived as someone who's annoying, who's a nudge, who's needy. And a woman doesn't want that. A woman wants a man who is confident. And you are most confident in yourself. Mm. So just like how on the radio, you talk to people about where you're from, you talk about questions, you have to go in with that energy, that confidence, because that's who you actually are. You're most confident being yourself than you are being this shallow facade that you're trying to put out for public consumption.
And you see, and that's why I feel so much for my son. He's 21, and I told him, I said, you're trying to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why you're not picking up the girls and stuff, because I think people can see through it, right?
Right. They can totally see that you're not being yourself.
You're not being yourself. Right. You're sort of like, and that's a problem, because people don't like unreal people.
Right.
Yeah.
They could spot that. They can tell. If you're not being your genuine self, people can be like, oh, that person's lacking some confidence. They're insecure. Who are they trying to be? Who are they trying to impress?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that just makes it a huge
turn
off.
And it's so shallow. People in LA especially, they come and we're viewed as very fake and superficial. And oftentimes it's because people come here to be discovered. And when they come here, they put on this facade of what they think they should be.
Right.
But it's very, very shallow, because it's not who they actually are. So,
that's why people pose here a lot, right? They pose. That's why people pose a lot here in LA.
Because they feel like they're supposed to be this thing, and then what they end up being is almost a mockery of themselves.
Right.
They become a caricature as opposed to their authentic selves.
Right.
Isn't that a problem with online dating, though? You don't have to be your authentic self because you're behind a screen.
Well, what's interesting with online dating is actually one of my favorite ways to date, particularly for people who have been out of the dating world for a long time. They can sort of tiptoe in for a little bit. It's great for window shopping so that you can see that there are a lot of great people out there. But then you really have to do a lot of pre-qualifying in order to see if they are who they're saying that they are. And that can be very scary. So pre-qualifying is you ask very specific questions. You analyze their profile in a way that I call profile mapping. So you look at it with a strategy. Dating is a strategy. Mm. That's the reason why so many people fail, is because they don't know the strategy. They're just going in and throwing spaghetti at the walls and hoping that something is going to stick.
Right.
That does not work.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Okay. Mae, what do you think? It doesn't work. Huh?
I think online dating is a great place for people to meet. They're obviously doing very well. Otherwise, the industry wouldn't be there. But online dating is also great for matchmaking, because people fail at online dating and then they come to us. But
absolutely.
I mean, but where else can you go and just view a bunch of profiles of single people saying that they're single? First of all, admitting they're single and wanting to be out there dating.
So. In your pajamas.
In your pajamas.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people are putting fake photos up there, old photos, but they're going to get caught, because when they meet and the person that's supposed to be meeting them don't recognize them, that's a huge red flag. That's, they're just wasting time if they're doing that.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, and we were talking about this. A woman contacted me who was on a dating site, and she was talking to this guy who, you know, sounded great and everything. He had pictures. His daughter lives in London, blah, blah, blah. And she said, I felt something was wrong, you know. Mm. So she took the pictures, she Googled them, and she found me. And apparently this guy took like 10, 15 of my Facebook pictures and put them on a dating site.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does he expect, you know, when
that's
he meets
so
her?
Funny.
So maybe he wasn't expecting to meet her.
Well,
I don't know what
the
situation is.
Well, that's why there's a show called Catfish on MTV.
What's that?
That's why there's a show called Catfish on MTV.
Oh, yeah?
It's What's because that? There are so many fakes.
Right.
Catfish are basically people who pretend they are someone and they're actually scam artists. I have clients who have been catfished for as much as $30,000.
Wow.
So where they are talking to a guy, they fall in love with them online. For some reason, their video Skype never quite works, which is so strange. But they're always there.
Yeah, or the phone can't send pictures and things like that.
Right, it's so weird. So they end up talking for months, even sometimes years, and then they're supposed to meet. And he gets into a car accident, and he needs help in order to get out of the hospital. It's $30,000. I mean, it's these kind of like crazy. They happen. They really do. And that's oftentimes why people are going to go to someone like May, because they want a matchmaker who can say, yes, these people are legit. They are who they actually say they are. And on a much smaller level with catfishing, it's people who just say, you know, I'm a successful entrepreneur. And really what that translates to is I'm in between jobs, and, which is also unfortunately very common. But that's also where the pre-qualifying comes in. And that's what I do for my clients. In addition to all of the getting them ready for dating, I actually will go on, I'll help them to write their online dating profiles, and then I'll help them to analyze the profiles and communicate with people.
Sounds great, yeah. Now, go ahead.
I was just going to ask May, for your clients, where do you get the people that they will be dating from? Do you have an online database where you pull people from?
We get a lot of people who come to us from friend of a friend. So if a woman likes what we're doing, she'll refer her other girlfriends, because that's how women are. We're all very helpful. We are all very nosy. We all get into our other girlfriends' lives. And we're like, oh, hey, I have this great matchmaker. I'll refer you. So a woman who likes what we're doing and got set up through us successfully or enjoy the dates she's been on, she'll refer 10s and 15 friends to us.
Wow.
So, but mainly we find women through any kind of networking function, you know, any kind of art gallery opening, probably some people will find us on here on this talk radio, everywhere. Mm-hmm. They Google online. Women will Google Los Angeles matchmaker or dating successful guy or dating in LA. And that's how they would find us. And then they just fill out a profile. And then if we think there's someone that our guys are looking for, we'll invite them to come in and meet with us. So
sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get to the great love debate, because that's why you're here. Mm-hmm. And it sounds fascinating to me. And apparently you guys, I mean, I don't know if there's a message in this logo, but Charlotte, like over the man's crotch, there's a heart, and over the women's boobs, there's a heart. You know that? So I'm like, okay, so does that mean that men use love to get sex and women use sex to get love? Is that true?
I mean, there's always an element of sex when it comes to love, and it's something that I'm sure we'll be debating at the Great Love Debate, because it is edgy and people have a lot of questions. But basically, the Great Love Debate is where we're going to be talking with several other of the top dating coaches and matchmakers in LA, debating why people are single. There will be between probably about 400 singles in the audience, 200 men and 200 women. Well, they'll be asking us questions. You know, it's going to be really a free-for-all of why are so many people single in LA. And what'll be most interesting, I think, I've been to some of these before, is we all have different opinions. So yes, we're all experts, but we all have different opinions. And sometimes they're very different opinions. So some are very traditional, conventional approaches. Some of them, like me, are about screwing the rules and being more edgy. So you're going to get a lot of different perspectives. And that's what's really exciting about the debate.
Right.
Yeah, the words on the website, this groundbreaking, sexy, feisty, hilarious, intoxicating, brilliant, and funny. Is that all what people can expect to get when they're there?
Absolutely. I mean, we do have to be controlled a little bit. There is going to be a moderator there, because we all have such huge personalities and opinions that we can end up becoming just, I mean, it can be this huge fight, really, because it's, no, I am right. No, I am right. So we need a moderator who's, okay, guys, your opinion, now your opinion. But we do address everything from sex on the first date to how to get into a serious monogamous relationship to texting mistakes. I mean, it really is across the board all issues when it comes to dating.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, because when you say the debate is on why everybody's single, it sort of like assumes that people don't want to be single, right? Is that a given that everybody wants to be hitched?
Oh, of course.
Really?
I mean, everybody. Even people that say they don't mind being single, they deep down want to be coupled off. They want to be in a relationship because aren't we all happier and better people when we're in a relationship?
Not necessarily. I mean, I just ended a marriage and stuff, and I love being single.
For now, maybe it won't last long,
right? Because ultimately, I mean, even if you date a lot, you're a serial dater, you enjoy meeting new people, what you say is eventually you're going to fall for somebody, right?
Right. Eventually you will, and studies also say that if you're in a relationship or with somebody, have some companionship, you'll live longer. So you'll end up being happier, live longer, and you know, you enjoy life more.
Depending if it's the right person.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're happy with them.
Well, then you should make the decision and see Laurel and then break up with that person.
I know, otherwise I don't want to live that long.
But there are two intrinsic things that every person needs, and that's the need for love and connection. So both of those are within relationships.
Right.
You know, even the person who says they're happy being single. How do you feel when you wake up in the morning alone again?
I don't mind it at all. But then again,
you just got out of a relationship. So it's like exciting and
so
new.
So you're saying
and fun.
That eventually it happens. I mean, it could take some time. Yeah,
it could take years. It could take 57 years, like some of my clients.
That's true, yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, it took 10 years to be married and stuff. Then it's going
to
take
a while before you're going to.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, well, I've been doing some detoxing in the past year, let me tell you. But I definitely need your services, you know? Because what happens is I see beautiful women like at Starbucks or something or at the store, and I never even consider making a move because I know I just won't because I'm used to not doing it all my life.
Well, that's actually very interesting because you've been married for so long, so you naturally don't feel like, oh, I should go and talk to them. So you have trained yourself to hold yourself back.
That's true.
So now it's training, it's rewiring you and creating new habits where you're comfortable and confident going up to anyone and just smiling, saying hi. And I think that you bring up a really good point because a lot of people and a lot of my clients were getting out of relationships where we had to learn how to act in a certain way. And now we're unlearning. And we're also unlearning how people are in relationships. So, you know, oftentimes we're jaded. We think all men are like this. All women are like that. Why do you think that? Well, because my ex was like that. Okay, well, not every man and woman are like that.
Exactly.
You can actually set the standard of how you are going to be treated on the first date by modeling on yourself your expectation of them.
Right.
So I'm going to treat me and I'm going to treat you the way I want you to treat me.
Very interesting. Now, May, I wanted to ask you, what do you notice like is the... What do the majority of men really look for in a woman?
Men want women who are sweet, kind, beautiful, attractive to them.
Right.
Just being feminine. Men just want to be the person who's the stronger guy, who's the take charge guy. And they just want to take care of a woman.
Right.
And they just want to have nice, sweet people around them. So that's basically it.
So it's like pretty primal. I mean, the male wants to take care of the female.
Right.
The female wants to be taken care of and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
That's why you get all these sugar daddies and stuff like that. Yeah.
But I would add one thing, and it's something that I call the X appeal. And basically, X appeal is magnetism. Right? Mm-hmm. It's that thing that makes you addicted to someone. I know so many. I have clients who are perfect. You know, they are the total package. They're beautiful, successful, perfect bodies, and they cannot keep a guy. And the reason is because they don't have that X appeal. They don't have that thing that makes you crave them. They aren't enticing. And teaching someone how to be enticing is difficult, but it's possible, and it's something that I have to do all the time. And it's the same thing with men. Oftentimes, what that X appeal is made up of many different things. One of them is they have a life. So a woman who has a life is actually very, very sexy, right?
Right.
A man doesn't want a woman who's needy, who's
constantly
like,
depending on them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Get a life. I mean, a lot of single people, when they come to me, I say, you know, if you're single, get a life first.
Yeah.
And if you don't
have
one, let me help you get one.
Right.
You know, do things for you. Go to the spa because you like to. Go play golf. Go take care of your needs. Take cooking classes. Have something that you're passionate about so that you're not completely depending on the other person, because let me tell you, two halves do not make a whole. And the whole idea of you complete me is horseshit.
Yeah,
honestly.
It really is.
Please,
you know,
don't complete me.
Yeah. I know, because I think when you become one and then you separate your two halves, you know, and you're just half a person, you know.
And that's not attractive for anyone, including yourself. That's when you're pathetic and you're needy.
Yeah.
But the women also have to scale back all of their activities when they are dating a guy, because we get guys who come to us and they're so interested in this woman, and he's like, she's too busy.
Yeah.
She has her gym, she has her book club, she has the wine tasting event, and a lot of women just don't realize that sometimes it's a real turnoff for men. If you're so busy, it means you don't have time to date. And right away, they're like, you know what? I'm just going to move on to the next gal who is
You have to show that the guy is important. Right. You know, I mean, I'm very busy. I'm very busy with my business. I'm very busy with everything else going on in my life. But I show my guy that he is a priority to me. Right. That I am going to, I might make not time. Have time, but I'm going to make time. I'm going to find time to show him that he is a priority. And when I see him, I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, I really should be at this thing and that thing. I'm going to be like, I'm so excited to see you. Like, it feels so good to be with you. Make them feel, men want to feel like a god. They do.
Right.
So make him feel that way.
And it's one of the things that when people say they don't have time, you do have time. You make time.
Make time.
Yeah, exactly.
You have time to watch TV for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it really bothers me because sometimes we have women coming in here and it's like, no, I'm too busy. I don't have time. You know, I'm focusing on my career. But it's like, okay, you can focus on your career and still date and still be available and still have a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's sort of like they put everything on hold, and it is a turnoff to me. You know, if you're like too busy, you're so involved with yourself that you can't even give a little bit of yourself to somebody else. I'm not interested.
Yeah. I mean, it's like The Bachelorette, right? She's going on dates with all of these different guys, but with every guy, she is completely there. She is completely focused on him. She makes him feel like the center of the universe.
Do you think so? Because I don't think so. I don't think in any of those shows that they do.
When she's on a date with him, she is focusing on him. She is present with him. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way that you can date multiple people at once, which I highly recommend.
Really?
Absolutely. Until you're having sex. But before that, you should date multiple people at once, because how can you make a choice if you don't have any options?
Right.
You don't want, the guy doesn't want to feel like, oh, well, she chose me because she has no one else.
Right. But what's the point in seeing all these people if you're not having sex with them? I mean,
well, it's like, at the very...
No, really. I mean, it's an innocent question.
No, I totally agree. It's at the very beginning. So you're dating different people to see who makes most sense for you.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily... You know, if you want to have sex on the first date, fine, if that's what feels good for you. But generally, people don't. Mm. So if you're going on, you know, two, three, four dates with a couple of different people until you decide this is the one, and if none of them are the one, then divorce them all and start fresh.
Right.
And start with new people.
But I think sometimes you have to qualify someone based on the sex too, you know? So, I mean, it's like, because you sort of like go in without trying it out.
It's true. So you have sex with the guy or the chick, and if it's bad, then either you have a conversation of how can this be better?
Right.
Because not always does your first time is your first time amazing. Same with kissing, right? We all have different kissing styles. And maybe I kissed this way with this guy and I've been with him for 10 years and now that I have adopted as my style, and I start kissing someone else and he's like, you're an awful kisser, but I was a great kisser with him.
Right.
So
right.
your styles have to learn how to mesh a little bit. And same with sex.
Right.
Not every, it's not one size fits all.
Right.
I like things that she doesn't like and you like things that that guy doesn't like.
Right. So that's why I say you have to be, I think before you choose someone, you probably should have sex with them to
have
know
sex.
That it, you know. And that's the thing, though. I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you that the first time is really for exploration. You shouldn't really look for like the
good,
best sex and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more fun. It's like, wow, this is a new body.
Right.
This is really exciting.
Exactly.
I'm finally able to utilize all this passion I've been feeling for this person. All the anticipation.
And,
yay.
Yeah, and you see, and that, at this point, that's the point I'm in my life. So it's like... Yeah, new bodies all the time. New bodies, new bodies. I don't want to settle down, you know. But no, I mean, I know what you mean. You know, eventually, you know, you want to be with someone where you don't have to use protection with. You don't have to wonder what they're doing behind your back.
But it's also
like
your dating purpose. I mean, your dating purpose right now is to have fun. There are three different types of dating purpose. Fun, to explore yourself and to be in a committed monogamous relationship. So if you're in the fun zone, great, go have fun.
Yeah, okay.
Just make sure that the person that you're also dating also wants to have fun.
Yeah, otherwise,
so, I mean, before you have sex, I always say open your mouth before you open your legs.
Okay.
So have a conversation of, is your dating purpose to have fun? Mine is too. Let's have sex. Then it's totally okay.
Sounds good. So tell us, so May, when is this Great Love Debate? It says it's a tour. Is it going to be somewhere else or just in LA?
It's already been to 30 cities in the last, I think, couple of months, two or three months. And it's finally making its way home into LA. And it's supposed to be the largest one with 400 people. I don't think they've ever had one that
this is the biggest one.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be on Thursday at the Pacific Design Center.
Right.
Thursday at the Pacific Design Center.
But
what
let
time?
Me tell you what's amazing in addition to just the debate, the after party.
Right.
You guys,
I'm
if
sure.
you think there are no singles in LA, there are going to be 400 singles at this after party.
Right.
Can but anyone go to the after party?
Well, you have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's fine.
And then you can absolutely go to the after party. And then the dating coaches are going to be there and you can ask us advice. So it's going to be a free for all.
But what's great, but what's great is everyone has already gone through the debate. So they've been watching everything, listening, laughing, hopefully, maybe not crying.
A lot of ice is broken already.
Right, so it's already a huge icebreaker. And when they meet, it'll just be really natural to have that conversation. It won't be awkward.
Right. The social lubrication will have already happened.
Right. You see, but I'm concerned with like going to a place like that by myself because on the first on the one hand it's easier to pick up someone when you're alone, you know, you're not attached to that person you come with. On the other hand, I kind of feel pathetic being there alone. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what's interesting with the Great Love Debate is, as with any social event, women come in groups, right? It's clusters of women.
Right,
they all come
together.
The guys, most of them come alone.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so then, but how do you approach someone in a group? Okay, well, that's a whole different thing,
Well,
right?
because you've already been through the Great Love Debate. You've already been hearing us talk for a couple of hours about sex and dating and love and matchmaking and, and icebreakers. And then you go to this party, and it's a party. You already have something that you know you're connected with every single person there. So at an event like that, you could go up to a woman and say, what do you think about when she said, whatever. What do you think about when she said you can have sex on the first date? Maybe not the best thing to say, but if your purpose is to have sex with a lot
if
of
that's
people.
That's what you're looking for.
That's fine.
Pre-qualify them right off the bat. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, guys, we're almost out of time. Why don't you go ahead and tell us where people can find you if they want matchmaking, if they want love coaching, you know, or dating coaching.
Well, for me,
and
they can
stuff.
Go to screwingtherules.com.
Okay. Well, you got away with words, let me tell you. Okay.
You know what? If you're not edgy, then you don't.
No,
stand
you gotta
out.
Be. You gotta talk how people
it's
talk.
Me. So it's Screwing the Rules: The No Games Guide to Love. It's a book that's coming out in December, and it's going against the conventional rules of dating.
Wow, sounds great.
Yeah.
So your full name is Laurel House.
Laurel at Canyon.
That's right.
House like a house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
you can only say
a house
in LA.
Like a house. Yeah. And so people like this can Google you and find you.
Yeah, I'm all over. I have 5 books out, or my 5th is coming out in December. I'm on YouTube and Facebook.
Really amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I might actually come to you and get some advice. And
that
help.
Would be fun.
Yeah, I would love that.
Great.
In May, where can people
to
find
us?
You?
We're online, catchmatchmaking.com, and we're on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere. So people can just find us, catchmatchmaking.com.
And in addition to the matchmaking, they actually have a lot of fun events. I subscribe to your newsletter. I don't know if you know.
We have
fun group events, too, that they do. So
a lot of speed datings that we do, niche speed dating.
Yeah, I was going to ask you real quick. Dating. Does speed dating really work?
You mentioned that the
other day. Yeah. I'm really curious about that because that's meeting a lot of people quickly. I mean,
it's
very efficient.
It's kind of like
right?
dating 15 guys, 15 girls in one night. And because people are so judgmental in LA, they can just look at someone, have that 3-minute conversation and know if they want to meet them again or not. So.
Exactly. Wow.
But yeah, we have them all
the time.
Yeah,
I want to try those.
Yeah.
You have to be on your game, though, with the right questions. You
have
sit
to dress
down
nice.
You're like, okay, these are the
minutes.
Questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. I'm good with questions. Okay. I've been doing this 6.5 years.
You're the perfect candidate for speed dating.
I know. It's like, you know, since my radio show, I'm like the best conversationalist at parties. You know?
It's just starting the conversation. Yeah. You're like, let's just skip the initial conversation and just jump into it.
I know, because I'll tell you what, goes through my mind. It's like I wanted to know the real me and not to think I'm just another guy who's making a pass at her.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's why you have to just cut all the bullshit and truly just jump into the actual conversation. I think it might be interesting for you to go up to a woman and say, I'm not good at icebreaker conversation, so let's just jump into it and then start a real conversation. Actually, I think that would work.
Okay, sounds good. Coming from an expert, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, the Great Love Debate, that's going to be at West Hollywood in the Pacific Design Center. That's that blue whale thing that they call. And that's Thursday, July 17th. Do you know what time?
Doors open at 6:30 and the debate starts at 7:30.
In the evening, obviously.
Yeah. So come and meet us and have a lot of fun.
Wow, that sounds great. Now, so do you know how much it is to get in?
It's $40 unless you use one of our codes. Mine is Laurel10.
Mine is Catch10, and you get $10 off. So it's like $30.
So it's $30.
Oh,
it includes the debate and the huge mixer. So
It's worth it. It's definitely worth it, even without the debate, just to to meet all these women and stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
200 women
to choose
from.
It's going to be a huge pickup joint. I mean, the ultimate pickup joint in LA probably for the month.
But it'll probably be very competitive, too.
It'll be competitive, but these are high-quality people who are truly looking to put effort into themselves. That's why they've shown up to this. I mean, if you're looking for a serious relationship, this is where you should be, because these are people who have already pre-qualified themselves just in the fact that they have showed up to an event where they're learning about dating and love.
Right. Sounds good. And on that note, Laurel House, Mayhui, thank you so much for joining
us.
You guys are a lot of fun.
That was fun. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and make it. Charlotte's not single anymore, so she's not going to do this.
You can come anyway. There are people who are in relationships that are coming as like the wing chick for people. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. And you never know what you might find, you know. Anyway.
I'm happy.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you again, ladies.
You.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.